Job 33. So Elihu now starts his talk. He says, Job, please hear my speech. Listen to all my words. See now, I have opened my mouth. My tongue has spoken in my mouth. Get on with it. That's what I feel like telling Elihu. As I say, the friends haven't answered Job, and Elihu says, well, you haven't answered him. And we're like, yeah, that's right, Elihu. And then he says, oh, well, I'm going to speak, and I'm going to give the wisdom from God. And we're all eager that he might have something to contribute. But then, as it happens, I think we're still going to be disappointed. And all this is leading us up to really long for God himself to speak, and he does at the end of the book. And this is how life goes, that we are disappointed with all the various explanations and philosophies and traditions of men. And why that is to make us turn completely to God and long for his word, which in our generation we have in the Bible. So Elihu goes on with all this fanfare of introduction. My words shall utter the uprightness of my heart. That which my lips know, they shall speak sincerely. The Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life. Well, straight away you get a little bit sceptical of Elihu, because, well, that's true of absolutely everybody. And in fact, earlier in the speeches, Job and the friends have both admitted that the Spirit of God creates man, and the breath of the Almighty is what gives all of us life. If you can, he says, answer me, set your words in order before me, and stand forth. Behold, I am toward God even as you are. I am also formed out of the clay. Behold, my terror shall not make you afraid, neither shall my pressure be heavy on you. Surely you have spoken in my hearing. I have heard the voice of your words, saying, I am clean, without disobedience. I am innocent, neither is there any iniquity in me. Behold, he finds occasions against me. He counts me for his enemy. He puts my feet in the stocks. He marks all my paths. So this is Elihu's summary of Job. He's saying, well, Job is just saying that he's never sinned and that God's being unreasonable. Well, no. At the beginning of the book, God is very clear that the Satan, the adversary, was moving him to destroy Job without cause, and that God considered Job an upright man. And so Job understandably laments the sufferings that come upon him. He says, look, this is not because I've sinned. And God himself has said that. And yet Elihu rather twists that, as people do twist your words, to say that, you're just making out that you're, like, perfect. So Elihu says, I will answer you, and this you are not just, for God is greater than man. Well, I think Job and the friends have all said that. Why do you strive against God? Because he doesn't give account of any of his matters. For God speaks once, yes, twice, though man pays no attention. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls on men in slumbering on the bed, then he opens the ears of men and seals their instruction, that he may withdraw man from his purpose and hide pride from man. He keeps back his soul from the pit and his life from perishing by the sword. He is chastened also with pain on his bed, with continual strife in his bones. So he's referring to Job, who complained that he had terrible pain in his bones and was having to lie on his bed all the time, so that his life hates bread and his soul dainty food. His flesh is so consumed away that it can't be seen. His bones that were not seen stick out. Yep, this is exactly how Job had described himself. Yes, his soul draws near to the pit and his life to the destroyers. Yes, this is Job. If there is beside him an angel, an interpreter, one among a thousand, to show to man what is right for him, then God is gracious to him and says, deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom. And then his flesh shall be fresher than a child's. He returns to the days of his youth. He prays to God, and he is gracious to him, so that he sees his face with joy. He restores to man his righteousness. He sings before men and says, I have sinned and perverted that which was right, and it didn't profit me. He has redeemed my soul from going into the pit. My life shall see the light. Behold, God works all these things twice, yes, three times with a man, to bring back his soul from the pit, that he may be enlightened with the light of the living. Well, Elihu is saying, yeah, you're in a terrible situation. This is what happens to sinners. But if a man repents and says, I have sinned, then God will bring his soul back from the pit and he will save you from that desperate, dire situation. Well, no, he's missing the point. He's still back with the old idea of the friends, that Job was suffering because he'd sinned and he needed to fess up and repent. And that's not the point. That is to totally miss the opening statement of God, that Job was a good man, upright, and he was not making him suffer because of his sin. So Elihu goes on, mark well, Job, and listen to me. Hold your peace, and I will speak. If you have anything to say, answer me. Speak, for I desire to justify you. If not, listen to me. Hold your peace, and I will teach you wisdom. Wait a minute, he's saying, listen to me and don't say anything. And then he says, well, if you've got anything to say, well, say it. And then he says, well, listen to me. And then he says, be quiet, hold your peace, and I will teach you wisdom. So we don't get the impression he's particularly genuine. He's wanting to speak, and he's quite full of himself. He's a young man who is very full of himself, who thinks he's got all the answers. And that is part of what it is to be young. Of course, old people are the same. But it is easy to assume that, yeah, the older tradition and the older guys who have spoken to Job, they got it all wrong. And yes, he was right. There was something radically wrong, but I'm not sure that he had the answer.